Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. the topic tonight is my relationship with my confession father, which is quite important because sometimes we really don't understand that the priest, do you? And you don't know, sometimes we don't comprehend so much about the role of the priest in the church. And what does the priest do, and the amount of work that he may do or he may not do. So it's a good opportunity tonight to just sort of explain or talk about the perspective of what the confession father or the priest of the church and the role that they play in the life of the believers. And especially like Coptic youth and Coptic congregation, because I think the relationship that we have between us and you, like you as a member of the church and the priest, is a very personal relationship. And unlike many other churches, it's not as personal. With the Coptic priest, you can contact them 24 hours. You know, they're available 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. 7-Eleven, you know, 7-Eleven, yeah. 7-24. It's like a 7-Eleven, you know, open all day, all night. So our relationship with the priest, you have to understand also, like, every priest has a confession father. Even the patriarch, the Pope, has a confession father. So when I talk about my relationship with my confession father, it's like the same relationship that you would have with your confession father as well. So the confession father relationship is can be a personal and a close relationship, and it's something that it's honest. There's a bit of honesty in it, and with our Coptic understanding, we want it that way. We want to have that relationship. You want to have that good relationship between you and your confession father. And that's why it's very, very important that we do have a confession father. And that it's very, very important that we spend, you know, regular time with our confession father. And I know that many of you who do reap a lot of benefit and a lot of blessing in their lives when they do have that relationship with their confession father. Now, when we talk about the priest, he has, as a confession father, he has authority from God. He has authority from the Lord himself, who said, you know, in Matthew 18, verse 18, he said, "Assuredly I say to you," and this is what the Lord said to the apostles, he said, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven." So the Lord instigated and he gave authority to the priest to forgive sins or to retain sins. This is the confession. So if you come up to me, or any father, any priest, as in confession, and you say, "Abuna, I have sinned this particular sin, but I'm not repentant," well, then I can say to you, I can't give you absolution. And I've done that before. If you have in your heart intending to commit that sin, and you disclose that, well, then really, Abuna should not give you absolution. But if you come to me and you say, "I really feel repentant, and I feel that I want to change at this moment," well, then Abuna will give you the absolution. He'll give you the forgiveness. And he has the power to do that. He has the power to, the authority from God, to loosen or to bind, and to give absolution. So this is the instigation, and this is the authority that the Lord gave to the leaders or the shepherds. And we have to understand that they are shepherds. Priests are shepherds who lead their sheep. And they try so much to gather their sheep so that they don't go astray. And they're always looking out for those who stray. And that's their mission. Our mission as priests, we want everyone to go to heaven, even himself, because you have to understand that Abuna is still human, okay? And many people forget that Abuna is human, you know? they think he's not human. He's, you know, something out of Mars or something like that. I was one time, you know, like I said this before, and I was in a shopping center, and this little girl with her mother, and she saw me in the shopping, in one of the rows in the shopping center, because they're in the aisles. And she looked at me, and she looked at her mum, and she said, "Mummy, what's that?" She said, "He's a priest, darling, he's a priest." Today I went to the chemist, and I bought some medicines and that. And as I was coming out on the street, this bikey saw me. And he said, he went like this, "Father," this is kind of like, he said, "You shouldn't be taking medicine, Father. You know, you've got God on your side." I said, "I'm still human." So the perception that we are out of this world is not true. Okay? We're still human, and we still have weaknesses, and we still have, you know, temptations. Of course you have temptation. And that's why the priest always, when he prays in the Mass, when he sets up the altar, he asks for forgiveness for his own sins and his own weaknesses. And then he asks for the forgiveness of everyone else in the congregation. So although, you know, we have weaknesses, but we still have the authority. And we saw that in the apostles. The apostles had weaknesses, you know. Peter denied Christ 3 times. And all the apostles doubted in the resurrection. But that doesn't say that they are bad people. It doesn't say if you're weak as a human, it's not you're a bad people. You're not a bad person. You're still trying to grow in righteousness. Righteousness, you are righteous. Even if you fall, you are still righteous. You are righteous when you get up as well. So if you fall and get up, you're still righteous. You continue your righteousness. So the priest has the authority as a shepherd, as a leader, and he's been instigated. This authority is given to him from God. And that's why we have the sacrament of priesthood, okay? And that's only, of course, for the person who's going to be ordained as a priest. He received the sacrament of priesthood, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. Anything that we call a sacrament, the 7 sacraments of the church, is the work of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes, and he anoints him, and he anoints him to become the priest of God. And he starts off his life with God in the right direction. Whatever happens after that, that's between him and God. But the initial calling, the initial ordination, the initial ceremony, is that of an instigation from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one who works within the priest. And that's why when we say confession is in itself is a sacrament, isn't it? So confession, when you're in a confession room, that is a sacrament that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's a sacred relationship between you, God, and the Holy Spirit in that room of confession. That's why really, when we have the sacrament, we should be fasting, and we shouldn't, it should be the rules of normal, the rule of attending a sacrament should apply. But sometimes that becomes difficult because, you know, people want to confess and we don't have time to carry out the proper rules. So there is exceptions. But to go into a confession, we know that that's a sacrament. That's why when you're in a confession, when you're in a confession room of a Buna, believe that whatever he's talking to you about comes from God. Okay? Believe that this is the mouth of God that's speaking to you. And that's why we should be obedient, really, to the word of, to what a Buna tells us. We should be obedient, we should be truthful, and we should be precise in our confession. A lot of people don't confess, right? They just like to tell stories or like to whinge about others, you know? And that happens all the time. Today, a Buna was telling me he saw all these people after the Mass. And he said, not one person confessed. I said, what did they do? Oh, they just wanted to talk about others, talk about people, talk about, you know, but nothing about them. See, that's not the right way. If we're talking about confession, it's good, okay, to ask advice and that, and we'll talk about your relationship with Abuna and the role that Abuna can play in our life. But if it's confession, it has to be confession. You know, if I'm confessing, I need to confess my sins and not to blame others or not to make excuses for our sin. And rest assured that Abuna is not going to ask you details. We don't want details. We're you know, beyond details, you know, and it's good that you don't tell details. And that makes us more at ease that we can tell Abuna things that are bothering us. So a lot of people get embarrassed about certain things. But rest assured, Abuna's, you know, he's heard it all before. Okay? You're not the first person of the particular sin that you may have fallen into that he has heard. And he's heard much, much far worse sins than yours. Okay? So don't feel embarrassed, or don't feel that, you know, no, I can't tell Abuna that, he'll think differently of me. If he does think differently of you, that's a sin upon him. In fact, when we tell Abuna something that is not, you know, very embarrassing, he should be joyful that you said that. And that's what the Lord said. He said that, you know, for every person who confesses their sins or returns, there's joy in heaven. So if the heavens are rejoicing and the angels are rejoicing and God is rejoicing, well then why shouldn't the Abuna be rejoicing? You know, he's part of all this. So Abuna should be rejoicing that you know you want to change. You want to clean this thing out. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, don't think that, you know, Abuna is going to think differently of you. Don't think that Abuna is going to put you in his black book, because he's not going to put you in his black book. But in fact, he'll put you in his white book, and that white book is the book of life. Okay, in his eyes, he knows that you're far better than many people who don't confess sincerely. So we said that the priest is something that is sacred. It is sacrament. The sacrament is given from God, and confession itself is also a sacrifice, a sacrament. And you need to understand that the priest is also a representative of God on earth. He's a representative of God on earth. And that's why we always look at our priests in a good way. Even if they have weaknesses of any kind, we should always think of them highly, because it's a high office. It's a difficult office. It's not an easy job. It's a difficult one. And that's why we should be praying. You as a congregation should be praying for your priest every day. Because that responsibility is heavy. It's, you know, he has a responsibility for the salvation of others. Mm. And that's a big job. You know, it's something that he can't pack up his bag one day and say, I don't want to do this job anymore. No, I can't find another job. I can't go out and say, look, hey guys, you know, I want to work as a chef anymore. That's the end of the story. Unless they kick me out, that's a different story. Yeah. So the priest has a load, and he needs your prayers. Every Abuna needs your prayers. Because, you know, the devil can fight the priest more than anyone else. Because there's a saying that says if you hit the shepherd, if you knock him down, what will happen to the sheep? They'll all scatter. Okay? And that's what the devil is always going to try and do. And he does it in churches, and we've seen that. We've seen how, you know, he does it in churches, he does it with servants, he does it with in the community, and that's his aim. His aim is to knock down the leaders. And that's why we always have to be conscious of that. We always have to always pray that the Lord protects you, protects the church, protects the priest, and that the unity and fellowship is all, and the love to always increase. Because it's through love and through communication and through compromise that God, the Holy Spirit, comes and works. And that's why the early church was in one accord. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, talks about the early churches always being in one accord. And that's when the Holy Spirit will work, when we're in one accord. When we're in one accord with the priest of the church, one accord with the servants together, and one accord with you as youth, the Holy Spirit has to fry, has to burn, has to make us all on fire. And this is what we want always, that the Holy Spirit to be burning and to make us all fully, you know, spiritual uplifting. Okay, the role of the priest, but he plays many roles, you know. The priest as a spiritual confession father, he's like a spiritual doctor, isn't he? You can say that, you know, you go to a doctor for a physical problem and he prescribes for you a certain prescription, whatever it is, antibiotics or antihistamines or antidepressants or whatever. And if you don't take that medicine, well, then you're going to get worse. So you should be taking that advice. And it's the same with the confession father. We come to him with our spiritual sickness, because we have spiritual sicknesses. We have lots of things that are, you know, bother us spiritually. So Abuna prescribes for you a means, ways to overcome our spiritual sicknesses. And it's up to us. We should be taking them. If we take it, well, then we'll get better. If we don't, well, then we're just going to get more and more worse. So if you think of it that way, you think that the father of confession is like your spiritual doctor. He's not only just a spiritual, but he's also a counselor. Okay? And we see that all the time, that people even have mental illness, they come to see a boy. He's a psychiatrist, psychologist. If people have mental illness, feel more relaxed. And I strongly believe that we can do without antidepressants, if we spend time with a priest within your heart saying, I want to be cured spiritually, you'll find that there is an answer spiritually as well for depressive states. Yani, people who, I'm not saying Yani don't see your doctor, but I'm just saying that this could be also a way to overcome depression, anxiety, is that you get the advice and the prayers of Abuna. Okay. So Abuna is like a counselor. He's a psychiatrist. He does that work. I'll tell you, Yani, things that I've listed, and I sat down today just to think about, what does Abuna do? You know, why do people come and see him? And I figured there's a whole list of stuff here. Abuna he reconciles people with disputes, especially marital problems. And this is something about relationships as well. Like when you, God forbid, when you get married, it's not God forbid that you get married. I'm saying God forbid that you have a fight when you get married, okay? That who are you going to call, the police? When you and your husband or your wife have a fight, you run to the police? No, not as cops, not yet. No. But we at least get Abuna involved. You know, this is the first line of reconciliation, is that you bring the church. Okay. We don't want you to start with AVOs and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Abuna is happy to come any time of the night. I don't know if I should have said that. You know what? You know, like, I personally don't like to go to marital problems. And I always, when somebody calls me up and say, Abuna, we have a problem at home and this and that, we need you to come. Oh, God, all these silly things that people fight about. And I pray to God, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, what am I going to say to these people? It's you that the one who should solve this problem. And rest assured, you know, like almost 95% of the time, it's either by the time I get to there, they make up, yeah, and they've sort of, oh, it's okay. Or they may ring me and say, oh, I want to fix it all up, don't bother coming. You know, it's happened many times that I feel the weakness, but at least God gives the answer to the people. One time, Abuna Ya'ub went to, they called him, the couple, and they said, we're fighting, Abuna, we want you to come now. So Okay. So he delayed a little bit. You know, he went after an hour or so. And he got there into the house, and they were laughing. The couple was laughing. They were just sitting and staring at each other, and they were laughing. And they said to him, and then he said to him, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "Oh, we're sorry, Abuna. Before you came, we smashed all the glasses in the house, and we have nothing to offer, no glass to offer you." Didn't have any glasses to offer, I wouldn't have drink, you know. But I think because of that, they were laughing, they were reconciled, yeah. So there was something in common they found. It was a funny,
that's
crazy. Yeah, crazy, isn't it? But that's the sort of thing, Yanni. Yeah. And rest assured that, you know, Abuna, if he reconciles people, he feels good about it. And we ask that the Lord, you know, he will search for the problem in a spiritual sense. And I know that Abuna or all the fathers, you know, convert our disputes to something that becomes positive and spiritual. And actually, that is said in the wedding ceremony. If you ever noticed, that it says, "Lord, make their disputes turn into something spiritual." In some of the commands, it says, "Convert their disputes to become spiritual." That's what we pray for, and that's what Abuna will continue to do when he goes to visit people with disputes. So Abuna, he reconciles. Abuna is a friend, by the way. He's your friend. So you can talk to him anytime. Your relationship between you and Abuna should be a friendship. You don't be scared of him. He's not going to bite you, by the way. But you should have that relationship that he can be approached. You can approach Abuna anytime. And you can talk to him about anything. Even if it's silly, you can still talk to him about it. And he's not going to laugh at you, bro. You know, he might behind your back. No, he won't. But he's happy. He likes to communicate with you, especially with youth, you know. Abuna likes to, and we have, you know, some youthful priests here as well. We have Abuna Mark, who's, you know, one of you, and grew up in the church. And, I'm still youthful at heart. So you can come and see me. Although I've got white beard, but doesn't mean anything, does it? No. So you can come and see us, Abuna Jonathan, Abuna Ya'ub. He's very youthful. You see him anytime as a friend, even. Even if he's not your confession father. It's nice to say, "Abuna, I want to have a chat with you, you know. I need to get some spiritual advice." Yeah. Abuna would be very happy to do that. He wants that relationship between you and him. Taban, within the time that he's here,
you guys take care of him.
Because Abuna can give you good advice, and I know that Abuna Yaup and Abuna Jonathan and all the fathers have given many of you lots of good advice, especially about your careers and your choices, at university and HSC and contracts and all these sort of things that we encourage people to do. And he will continue to do that throughout your life. You know, like Abuna will be from the day you're baptized to the day of your departure of the world, he'll be there. Abuna will be at your baptism, he'll be at your wedding, and he will be at the funeral as well. God forbid, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Abuna, he takes the whole, you know, part of your life, every step of your life, he's there for you. And of course, Abuna, he'll depart as well, and there'll be others that will take over. So it's a continuous relationship that doesn't stop on earth. It continues also when we're in heaven. It continues when he departs as well, because he'll also intercede on you in heaven. If you have that relationship with Abuna while you're on earth, and he will depart most likely before you, but then you have a priest there in heaven to also to pray for you. So that relationship is not just an earthly relationship, but also becomes an eternal relationship, and it becomes a heavenly relationship as well. Abuna is a father as well. And sometimes when we talk to Abuna, we cannot talk to anyone else except for, you know, like it's, you can find in your confession, Father, because there are many things that you might not want to tell your parents, your friends, or people around you, but you should have that feeling that it's good and it's all right and comfortable to talk to Abuna about your personal problems. Because many people may not understand you, but Abuna will understand you. Because, you know, throughout his life as a priest, he sees many things. And he's more experienced in life than probably anyone else, because many sorts of problems come to him, and he can identify it, and he can see how it's worked for others, so it may work for you. So that relationship with Abuna, and we prefer that we don't confine so much in people as much as we should be confiding in your confession, Father. At least your confession, Father, will not speak about it to anyone. Whereas with friendship, and that, you know, it may leak somewhere, and it may be an embarrassing situation. But with Abuna, he'll confine that. He'll keep it as a secret for himself. You know, we're always involved in, Abuna is involved in immigration. We're involved in finding jobs for people. We're involved in counseling for drugs, and we're also a bank sometimes, you know, we lend money for people. We also involve, priest is involved in politics sometimes. Abuna can be also like a phone directory. I get that all the time. People ring me up and say, Abuna, can you give me so-and-so's number? Okay. Abuna, do you know a builder that I can contact? Abuna, do you know a plumber? So Abuna's like a phone book, you know. He's a phone directory as well. So then I'm saying that you can ring him for that if you want. He's not going to say no, go and find somebody else to help you. He will try to help you. He'll try to give you a plumber, try to give you a, you know, electrician or whatever, you know, you're after. And thank God our priests at St. Mark, he answer their phones, thank God. So you'll find that when you open, we'll find, answer your phone. When Jonathan will also, when Mark will, I might not answer after 12 o'clock, but anyway, they will. No, but we do keep our phones open, because sometimes in the middle of the night, people pass away, and we need to have, prayer for them. I know a lot of you send messages to Abuna in the middle of the night, and there's a relationship that Abuna wants you to do that. When in particular sins that people fall in, Abuna will say, just text me, you know, send me a message when it happens, and that helps a lot. Abuna also can direct you in many ways, especially when you're embarking on a relationship. A relationship between you and the person that you're thinking of marrying, and he can give you advice towards that, and to see which the best direction to go. And that's very, very important, because when we do find the right person, or we think we may have the right person, it is good to have the advice of Abuna, so that you start to plan for the right way in the right direction. And that works very well for a lot of people. And there's a sense of comfort, because when Abuna is happy, rest assured that, you know, there's something spiritual that he's giving you a feeling that what God is feeling as well. The relationship between you and Abuna should be, as I said, of obedience. It should be an understanding, and that we should be, taking Abune's advice seriously. This is very important. I had one person one time. He kept on, finding a partner, and then he wouldn't want to marry her. And he goes to another partner, and he wanted to marry her. Goes another partner, and he said, "Oh, it's going on, going for 3 or 4 partners." And then finally, he had this person who's really good, and he started to feel the same feeling. And I got really angry with him. I felt that it was like the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I said to him really harshly, "If you don't go ahead with this one, you're never going to get married in your life." He got upset. And he left me. And I think it was that drove him to commit and to continue, and thank the Lord that relationship is continuing, and it will continue to marriage. And he came back and he said, "I got upset with you when you said that, but I really felt that was a message from God, that I needed that." So sometimes we can be really harsh about something, but it can be the voice of God that is telling you, this is the way you should be doing it, and that's what God wants you to do. It's bravery on behalf of the priest to say, but sometimes it's really from God. I really feel that it was a message from the Lord. And, we've had people also I tend to be a bit more harsh, maybe. I think I'm harsh with if somebody comes and says, one time one guy came and said, "I fell into a very bad sin. And can I have communion?" I said, "No, can't have communion. How can you have communion?" And he got really sick after it, because I stopped him from having communion. And he ended up in hospital, because he got depressed about what I said. But it was after that, it changed his life. Sometimes that harshness is a message from God that is proper for the change of life, or the change that God wants you to do. So if a woman is harsh on you, it doesn't mean because he's harsh because he wants to, because he feels that this is a message from God. This is something that God wants you to do. So that we need to accept that, that we need to be obedient to that. Okay? So that relationship between us and our confessor needs to be of obedience. And you need to be sincere and need to be truthful about what we say as well. And precise. One other thing is what's important between, a relationship between your confession father should be regular, by the way. It shouldn't be less, don't leave it more than 5 weeks. Okay? Don't leave it more than 5 weeks. So it should be like on a regular basis, on a 5-weekly basis, 5 or 6 weeks. And then the reason is that when we are away from our confession father, or our shepherds, or if the shepherd is away from us, well then it's a very good opportunity for the devil to strike you and to make you fall. And that happened when? Can anyone tell me? When it's in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. When Moses went up onto the mountain for 40 days. You remember when he went up for 40 days in the mountain? And the people was wondering, where's Moses? Moses is not here. What happened to him? Moses was away from the congregation. But what did they do? Because he was away from the congregation and he wasn't shepherding them, they ended up making what?
Idols.
A golden calf. Together. And idols. And they worshipped idols. And they all sinned. They all committed adultery. And they all worshipped an idol. And that was a really bad sin. And that was after they saw God's glory. They saw God guiding them into the wilderness. They saw the manna. They saw the water from the rock. They saw God, basically. But yet, because the shepherd was not there, away from the church, away from God, away from the leaders of the church, well, then the devil will strike. He'll try to know. So that's why it's important that we learn a lesson from this, is that we don't stay away from the church for a long time. We don't stay away from your confession, Father, for a long time, because then you'll be subject to attacks from the devil. You'll be subject to attacks from the devil. And the devil will try to strike you and lead you astray. That's why it's important that we have that constant renewing, constant connection with your confession, Father, constant relationship with your confession, Father. The confession father also, I always look at him. Am I running out of time? It's 5 minutes or so. I need to finish. You should consider him as somebody who cleanses our spiritual garment. Okay, because when you're baptized, and you went into the baptism, and you became a new person in Christ, you put on a spiritual garment as a baby, right? And that's why you are holy then, you become holy. And that's why when we baptize a baby, we go around the church and we do a procession for the baby, because that baby is holy now. It came out of the holy water and become a new person in Christ. And they put on a nice white garment, spiritual garment. And it's like when we do a procession of the icons of saints. We say the same hymns, the tunes. There's Exia and Exias and Kenevran, all these kind of lovely hymns. For saints, we say for the baby as well. Because that baby becomes a holy baby. But the baby grows after a while. And then as they grow older, they begin to know sin, know what's wrong, what's right. The eyes become more opened. And they begin to experience sin and fall into sin. And the surroundings, they become tempted by many things. So it's like when they fall into sin, they're bringing like dirt, and it's making the spots on the garment. So like a dirty garment becomes, the more we sin, the more dirt, the dirt is on the spiritual garment. So how do I cleanse that garment? Because I have to try to keep that garment always clean, because we never know when we're going to meet the Lord. And we have to meet the Lord with a clean garment. We can't meet him with a dirty garment. So if you ask to go to an interview for a really important job, would you go to the interview to see that the big boss with tomato sauce all over your shirt after you've eaten a hot dog and squirted with mustard? Would you? Tadros does, he loves tomato sauce. I've never seen anyone in my life eat so much tomato sauce.
Well,
anything
even ice cream.
Even tomato sauce on his ice cream. Like it'd be a nice gourmet steak and all this cream sauce. Oh, no, it's full of flavour. And then Tadros would bring, "Where's the tomato sauce?" Anyway, so you wouldn't meet that person that, what was I talking about? The boss with your tomato sauce. The same with God. You're not going to meet the Lord at the time of your departure with a dirty garment. So you need to constantly wash it. So you need to go to the washing machine. And who's the washing machine? Abuna. He's the washing machine. You can imagine Abuna together like a washing machine. Like me together. Ari together. So Abuna comes and he brings your garment and you're confessing, you know. And he brings your garment and he washes it for you. And he brings it up for you. And then when does he do that? When he cleanses you? Is when he prays the absolution. That's why we call it absolving. Okay? You know, when you absolve something, it means you're removing the dirt, removing the bad things. And that absolving means to dilute all the dirt, you know, like a fabric remover. And that's what happens in the confession. So we become clean again, become white again. And we go out in the world with more stains. Come back to Abuna, washing. That's it. Constant our constant washing, like we wash our dirty garment, whatever, every week, every day. The same with our spiritual garment. So regard Abuna is like that. I mean, when your garment is dirty, say, I have to go to Abuna the washer, you know? Let him wash this for me and I need to be clean. I need to wake up again and have fresh new spiritual garment on so that I never know when I'm going to depart. And that's very important, that confession, relationship with confession Father is a constant washing. Okay? Important for us to have, if we want to grow spiritually, we need to have a guide. If you want to grow spiritually, you need to have somebody to guide you. You know, a lot of us now have personal trainers, you know, we have to make us fit so we can have triceps, biceps, and every seps you can imagine. And we always have a guide to help us lose weight. You know, we find somebody to give us advice on weight loss and dieting, dietitians and all sorts of things. Jenny Craig and I don't know, Weight Watchers. So we're always getting guides. We're always getting people to guide us in our worldly activities. So we also need somebody to train us and help us to grow spiritually. And it's very important that we do have that. So with the Confession Father, it's also a relationship of, I want to grow spiritually, I want you to guide me. I need you to encourage me to do the right thing. You know, many people come and say, I feel holy now, you know, I'm going to do 500 matanyas. You haven't even started doing one, you don't do 500 matanyas. So there are sometimes we imagine things, and Abuna would never let you do 500 matanyas straight. You say, look, start with six, and then build up to 500, you know. And someone would say, I feel really spiritual now, I've repented, I need to go, I'm going to fast at 5 o'clock. And he's never fasted in his life, you know. He said, look, start with 11 o'clock and Abuna will guide you towards that. And so spiritually, we need to have a personal trainer. If we want to grow spiritually, we need to have a personal trainer. And that comes with your relationship with Abuna. One other thing that Abuna does when you're close to him, he'll always pray for you as well. So, Yani, you'll find that, you know, he'll pray for you. And it's a good thing to have when you have Abuna pray for you. So as you build up a relationship with Abuna, he'll remember you by name and he'll pray for you as well, because you're always close to him, he'll always see you. You'll be like one of his, you know, family members. And not just a congregation, but he becomes personal that he can pray for you. And you can ask him to pray for you and he will do that. I think this, Yani, really sums up our relationship with Abuna. That he is one that will help us, he'll guide us, strengthen us. And it's important that we have that relationship with him. And I know that, you know, many of you do have a close relationship with your Confession Father. And it's worked very well for a lot of us. And I know that. And you've reaped a lot of blessing, a lot of good advice. And those who do that, you know, they can actually witness to that. So I think it's a good opportunity that if we don't have a Confession Father, that we select one. And even if you have one, you can also have a spiritual father. So you can confess to one, you can ask for guidance from another. That's no problem there at all. If you don't have one, please select one. Try to find one you feel comfortable with, that you can speak to and that you can have a relationship with, so that you can reap the blessings. May the Lord strengthen you and give you all the guidance in your life. And yeah, there are many challenges that we're confronting with in modern society, and that sometimes we need to have that guide, especially when there's so many things happening around us. May the Lord be with you all. Glory be to God. Does anyone have any questions? Except for Mr. Tamar Sauce. No questions? You feel good?
Abuna.
Yes.
I've got a question. So when you confess, like, is it, like, you're talking about the silliness of confession, like, is there anything silly?
Nothing silly.
Nothing?
We love silly people.
Because the thing is, like, I know these kids are so spiritual and holy and they're almost in heaven already.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know...
You can see the chairs are lifting.
Oh. I can smell it before we're coming.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually think it's food. But anyway, you know, I guess the more you confess, the more time you spend with God, the smaller sins seem bigger.
Exactly. As you get closer to God, then this is part of spiritual growth. Like, I mean, this is a different topic by itself, but as we grow spiritually, the little things that you never used to confess becomes very big, and you'll confess them and they become magnified in your eyes. Whereas when you're starting off, you confess the big things, right? Which is fine. And as you grow spiritually, the little things become very important to you that you used to neglect before. So they become magnified. And that's part of the cleansing process, or the process towards spiritual growth, is that we become sensitive to any kind of wrongdoing, even if it's small.
But we never get rid of all our sin, do we?
We'll never get rid of it, because we can't say we'll be pure of complete. We're always going to be subject to temptation. You're always going to be subject to temptation, and some days temptation is going to be really hard and heavy, and some days God gives you grace and you stay for a long time without temptation. But you know, the guidance through your confession, Father, will help you to overcome the times of strong temptation. And as I said before, the people, I say to them, every sin needs grace from God to overcome. You cannot do it by yourself. You need an energy, you need a power, you need strength from the Holy Spirit, from God, to give you the willingness and the energy to resist. And you can't do it by yourself. You need to do it. You need God's grace to help you. So don't think that, oh, I'm going to overcome this sin, I'm going to overcome this habit. No, it's not going to happen. You need God's help. You need God's guidance. You need the guidance of your confession father as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mina.
Thanks
a lot. What's the bar? Are we going to look at each other?
Just enough for prayer.
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, dear Lord, for the message you have given us, O Lord, that our relationship with the confession, Father, is really a relationship with you, Lord. That we are just vessels. We are weak vessels, O Lord. And we need you to help us and guide us. And we thank you, Lord, that you give us leaders in our community, leaders in your church, and shepherds who love you also, and that you use them, Lord, to help your people and your congregation. And this is a gift, Lord, that you have given us. This is a gift that you have left us with, that we're able to send people that we can communicate with, that we can have a relationship with, and we can have a strong friendship with them, and we can open our hearts and speak to them as if we're speaking to you. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you from the depths of our heart, because you're a kind and loving, compassionate and merciful God. That your mercies are very abundant, and that you don't hold grudges against us when we come back to you. And that you're a forgiver. This is one of your major characters, O Lord, that you're a merciful and compassionate God. Oh, dear Lord, be merciful upon us and help us and strengthen us always to do good unto you, and to forgive us our many sins. Lord, fill us with your fear, and surround us always with your holy angels and all your saints, and to bless us and purify us, and make us walk towards a life of righteousness and purity, and to surround us with all goodness, Lord, and to surround us with good people who will guide us, people who serve us, Lord, to help us in our quest and our mission, O Lord, while we're here on earth, and our journey towards heaven. Our dear Lord, we ask you to bless your children who are standing here before you, and to be with them, to support them, and to listen to their prayers always, and to guide them always to your kingdom, O Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless your servants who are serving this meeting, and that we may always see the good fruits of the service, and that may you guide them and strengthen them always, O Lord. We thank you from the depths of our heart for the prayers of St. Mary, Archangel Michael, St. Mark the Apostle, and all the saints who please you ever since the beginning. Hear us, O Lord, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, stand our daily prayer, because we forgive those who are against us, and lead us not to take the rest of us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Go in peace, may the peace of the Lord be with you all.
Oh my gosh, I just have a few very quick announcements, guys. So the first one is that at 10:30 back here, we're going to have a prayer meeting, and Shnoda will lead that for us, and it'll be about half an hour. If you haven't come to it before, it's worth just coming. Essentially, it's just a bare prayer with some hymns, with some time for personal prayer. So that'll start at 10:30. Next week, on Tuesday night, there's going to be a combined prayer meeting at St. Mary's Church. It's combined between St. Mary, St. George, and St. Mark. And Abuna Mark actually is going to be giving a talk there. So Abuna just asked me to let all of you guys know it's 7:00 at St. Mary's in Bexley this Tuesday. The other thing is that we're planning to have an outing in the next few weeks. If you've got any suggestions about what you want to do or where you want to go, please come and let one of us know. That's all from me. Are there any other announcements?
Ladies, this is for you. Thank you for all of you that showed up on Monday night for dinner. But yeah, we're starting Monday night dinners. We started last Monday, Beverly Hills, 8 p.m. We meet in front of the cinemas, then we just go chill somewhere.